I just feel like God's love is just so tangible right now. Jesus was praying and he said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." And John writes in 1 John, he says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." And then he writes this in the NLT translation, "If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows us that we have not fully experienced his perfect love." And I just sometimes I wonder why we're so afraid to run to God first. Or if we're children of God, why are we so afraid of God? You know, the Bible says that it's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. And I think, I know in my life, I wasn't always taught that. And I just, if we could, you know, I want to sing that again. It's just that chorus. If you're afraid, it's because you're afraid of punishment. Well, why are we standing right here worshiping? Because Jesus took the punishment that I deserved. He took the punishment that you deserved. And he took the punishment the whole world deserved. And that's why we're saying, "Worthy is your name." And so as I just want to repeat that, and I want you guys to open your hearts up and receive that love from God and just flow in that. Thank you, Father. We praise you, God, and we worship your name. Come on, everyone, just start praying and praising God. Father, we thank you, God, and we praise you for your name. And right now, we just come against any fear and any doubt in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. We break those chains. God, and if there's people, and for those that are sick tonight, I just pray in the name of Jesus for healing for their bodies. And I just pray for, in the name of Jesus, for healing for hearts who need healing tonight. And I just pray in the name of Jesus for healing for our minds. And I just pray for that, God, of just stableness in people's lives. I pray for that we would walk worthy of our calling and stop getting so distracted. That we would filter what we're taking in and focus on what is good. And what is holy and what is pure, and all those things, God, are from you. And we praise you for that. And we just pray tonight that there would be this revelation of your love for people. And that this week people would just spend time in your presence and grow to know you and to love you. Because you first loved us. And we grow in love. And I thank you for that. And I pray for every single heart here tonight. Holy Spirit, that you would do what only you can do. Because you're our comforter and you're our advocate. And you pray for us. You know what we need. And we thank you for that, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, worship team. Hey, everyone. Nice to see you. Thank you for coming out to Elevate. As always, we'd like to give you guys an opportunity to come up here and share something. So let's have someone share that. And Also Sprout, if you don't have any Sprouts, don't have testimonies, Sprout can go and downstairs. All right, so we'll just leave that mic open for people that want to, someone wants to come up and share something that happened, something they're thankful for.
There's at least one. I feel it. Everybody's all awkward looking at each other, trying to see who's going to make the move. One person. We want to hear about what God is doing in your life. We're excited. Oh, we got one. I knew Irina had.
Hello. I actually, last month, I went on a missionary trip to Haiti, and I want to thank everyone that kept me in their prayer.
That's awesome. Mission trips are awesome. I went to Haiti, too. Oleg and I did. Really?
Yeah.
Who? It's the same people. Oh, the same organization. Let's see. Oh, Vasya. Yeah, okay, so I guess I'll share a little bit about Haiti. We had this one. Did you meet Vasya? He's a guy that's been there 15 years. Did he have his little girl with him? No. He's an older guy. But Oleg and I, we went to Haiti back in 2017. And I remember we first landed. And this is by far the worst country, like, aesthetically, that I've been to. We get off at the airport. We get into these vans or whatever they're called, we start driving through the streets and there's literally mounds of garbage, you know? And I feel like it would be the same, like I've been to Africa, I feel like it would be the same way in Africa if they had garbage to actually mound up, but they don't have anything there, you know? So it's a different world, but it was an interesting trip. I spent 4 days of that trip in, what's that military group? UN. Who knows what the UN is? United Nations. They have a UN base, and like our fourth day in, the locals tried killing us. So the UN, this guy, this officer, he's from Texas. He's just like in the middle of the riot, just drives up into our compound, walks out. He's got his gun right here. He's like, guys, just grab whatever you need, hop in my vehicle, you know? And he had like 8 other trucks and stuff there. So they got us out safely, and then they hit us in the UN base. So it was an interesting trip. It ended early, but it's okay. All right. So there's a word I want to speak that I forgot where this story kind of hit my mind, how I received it. But for some reason, it's just been wanting to kind of burst out of me because it just applied so heavily, like, in my life. And what we're going to talk about today is the worst trade ever. Who's ever made a bad trade? I love Max. He always does my slides for me. Who's ever made a bad trade? Anybody make a bad trade? I made some bad trades when I was much younger. I used to play a lot of video games. I was a big boy. I used to play a lot of video games when I was in 8th grade into 10th. Those were my prime. Those are the prime years. And I used to want to get the best game, you know, the newest game, the best game. So I'd buy the newest and best game. And I made a bad trade because a week later I didn't like the game. So I go to GameStop. Who knows what GameStop is? The girls, you girls probably don't. I mean, you might know what it is, but usually it's the guys that are, you know, camping out there. But I would go to GameStop a week later and give up, make a trade for this game for such a much lower value than what it was worth. So a game normally costs like $60 when it comes out. A week later, I'm bringing it in, trading it in for like a measly $20. you know, and that's a heavy drop really quick, you know, and I was just a sucker for it, you know. I just wanted the next best game, so I would go trade three new games for one new game, you know. It was just a bad time in my life, and but those were bad trades that I was making. But there's this one story in the Bible that once I read, I realized what a bad trade that happened in the story. And it's in Genesis 25, verses 29 through 34. So I'm going to get you, mostly girls here, I'm going to get you girls and you two guys back there. I'm going to get you to interact today as I read, you know. You know, when you preach, when you have to preach, you kind of... you try to learn new styles. So after watching a few sermons, you notice the pastor, he'll make them, the whole crowd kind of repeat a word. Apparently it sticks better in your mind, so we're going to try that. All right. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. Say famished. Louder. Famished. He said, "Jacob, quick." Say quick. "Let me have some of that red stew." What does red stew remind you of? Borscht. Yeah, okay, wow. I thought I'd have to tell you that, but that's nice. Okay. It says, "I'm famished." Again, say famished. "That is why he was also called Edom." That's just a paraphrase. "Jacob replied, 'First sell me.'" Say, "First sell me." "Your birthright." Say, "Birthright." Esau says, "Look, I am about to die. What good is this birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. And I want to talk a little bit about this story. And what we have two brothers. We have Jacob. And I'm sure most of you know the story. We have Jacob, we have Esau. And Esau, he's an outdoors kind of guy. He's like a Bass Pro kind of dude, you know. He goes to Bass Pro, he gets his hunting gear, he's a hunter. His father, Isaac, he really loved Esau because he would eat a lot of his food and really enjoyed it. And then we have Jacob, and he's kind of like a mama's boy. You know, he was always among the tents, as they say in the Bible, which means he didn't do anything. He kind of sat at home, he helped mom, you know, and he would do a lot of the housework, so which isn't bad, but like usually guys didn't do that back then, you know. And so he was a mama's boy. And what happened here in this story is we see Esau was out hunting, and for some reason he's not getting game. He didn't find an animal to kill. So he's headed on his way back home. And what's the first word I had you repeat back to me? Oh, that's stuck. Nice. Famished. He came home, he was famished. That means he was hungry. He wasn't just hungry, he was dying. You ever get to the point where you're dying, you just need to eat, you'll eat anything. You literally eat anything. I mean, you'll drink toilet water, like if you're thirsty, you know? Like it's bad. I hope nobody ever got to that place. But this is beyond hungry. This is like your body's in starvation mode. He comes home, he doesn't hesitate. He sees Jacob. Jacob is stirring the pot, you know, he's got the borscht going, he's got some chicken in there, some buruki, you know, and he notices it, and the aroma, it catches him off guard. He's like, "Jacob, quick." He says, "Quick, I'm famished." Again, he repeats it. So anything the Bible repeats, it's got to be important. And so he's repeating his current situation, which he's in a lot of pain because of the hunger. And Jacob, he sees this awesome opportunity. And he proposes something to him. What does he propose? He proposes a trade, doesn't he? He proposes the worst trade somebody could do in biblical times. So what he proposes is, "Let me trade you some soup, just a small bowl of soup, for your birthright." Who knows how important a birthright was back in the Bible times? What did a birthright mean? I kind of forgot, so someone's going to have to help me. What is a birthright? Well, you can, sorry, cuz. Eddie, do you know what a birthright was back in the day? Like what it meant, what came with it, if you were born first? Yeah, blessings is a big part of it. All right, one more. We'll try to get one more out of you girls. One, two, five. We got like 15 girls. One of you can tell me. All right. I'll just tell you since nobody knows. But I just remembered, so I guess I'll tell you. All right. So with the birthright, so if you were the first son in the family and you were to be born first, what came with that in their culture was that you would get all the authority over the family. This is it, when the father would pass away. You would get all the authority. You would get the full blessing of the father, which back then was a huge deal. I don't really understand why. I got to look into it more. But there was a big thing about getting the father's blessing over the family. And you would get the entire inheritance. So you get all the cattle. You get all the pigs. You get the tents. You get the family business. This all went, the fullness of what the family had went to the firstborn son. And what we see here is Jacob, he notices because Esau is lacking something in the moment, or because his perspective isn't correct, right? Because he feels he's mostly perspective. He's all of a sudden, it comes home, he's like, I'm temporarily hungry. He could have maybe waited another hour. He's probably starving already for a month, you know? Well, a couple weeks. Usually hunts lasted a couple weeks. But temporarily, he had this lack in him, and he was all of a sudden in his mind, he said, that birthright, everything that comes with it, I don't need right now. I just need this bowl of soup. Jacob saw that. And Jacob, I don't know if you guys know Jacob's history, he's a pretty good liar. Jacob was a really good liar. He lied his way out of a lot of things. And until he wrestled with one of God's angels, or they say God himself, until that point, and he had a name change to Israel, everybody saw him as somebody who lied. He always had a deception towards someone. So I want you to remember that when it says Jacob replied. So we say Jacob, who's the liar, replied, first sell me your birthright. And Esau, he says, look, I'm about to die. What good is this birthright to me? And it's interesting because for that moment, Esau had all of a sudden had no value on his birthright. What was already promised to him, what God already said, that you're going to get all this, plus the family inheritance, the authority, the blessing, all of that, all of a sudden in Esau's mind, he was like, I'm not going to need this today. And the first thing I want to go over is the soup. And the soup, from what we see in the story, is what's essentially the useless trash. My question to you is, what's your soup? Like, when we're in these situations in our life where we're walking with God, we have so much blessing. If you're a believer, you have the authority of God. You have the blessing of God. You have that. You have the calling on your life. But sometimes we get these situations in our life where we're famished. A lot of times this famishment comes because we haven't spent time with God. We're not full with God. So all of a sudden, we come to a place in our life where because we lack that fullness, we make compromise, and we compromise for a bowl of soup. My question to you is, what is your soup? Now, the second thing is the birthright or the blessing. That's the God's gift. Like I said, that's the authority. That's everything that was given to the firstborn son. And the third thing is the trade. When do we make this trade? Or what areas of your life have you been making this trade? See, Esau was blinded to what he had because of his temporary outlook. And sometimes we don't even do this on purpose. I mean, we can look at our prayer lives. Sometimes even my prayer life. This is the classic example. We trade sleep for, we trade a time with God in the morning for sleep. We trade that blessing, that anointed time where we're able to see God and just enjoy his presence for an extra 30 minutes. Who does that? Wow, yeah, good response, because everybody does that. I do that too. And that's one example, but I want to share with you a personal story of mine. This is a time where I get a little bit more vulnerable, but there was a season in my life where I was making a terrible trade. And unfortunately, there's not as many guys, because this is more guy issue rather than a girl issue. But don't get me wrong, this is a girl issue. It's statistically proven. One area in my life where I was making a terrible trade was when it came to pornography. There was a time in my life right between, I think it started at 16 into 21, 22. And in those years, I fell into, I had a door open in my life. I was exposed to this. And all of a sudden, I began making that trade day after day, month after month, year after year. I was trading my purity. I was trading my identity, specifically my identity. I was trading the blessing of my future for a temporary pleasure, for such a useless cup of borscht for that moment. And I don't know if anybody here deals with that, but there is so much freedom to be had from that. And being stuck in such a repetitive cycle, you begin to lose the idea of who you are, who God has made you to be, what God has given you and blessed you with. When you're a child of God, you have the fullness of God. You've got the Holy Spirit lives in you. You have the authority. You have His full love, full attention. You have everything. But when we fall into a sin like I was falling into, which was pornography, and I kept running to it, just saying, just one more time and I'll stop. It didn't. And I kept, and the reason it didn't stop was I wasn't going to be real with myself. You know, I wasn't going to say, I need help. You know, I was too ashamed. That's the biggest thing, is that when you realize what you're trading, that's one thing that kept me there. I realized I was trading so much amazing things from God for such a useless temporary thing. And that shame kept me locked up in that lifestyle. And I was just like Esau. I kept selling my birthright every day for a bowl of soup. And I want to ask you, maybe not all of you deal with that, but what is the cup that you're trading your birthright for? What is the bowl of soup you're trading it for? I want to leave, you know how you got to leave a good line for everybody to remember? Here's a good line. Don't trade your blessing for some borscht. And this is a serious note, especially for any guys who deal with this, because this was such a struggle for me. Pornography will keep you locked up for years. It will destroy your future marriage if you don't begin to change your mindset and understand the gravity of what it is. And when you understand that this is garbage and the devil has put this here, he has lied to me, just like Jacob lied to his brother Esau and made him make that trade, that same lie will keep you there for as long as you let it keep you there, and as long as you keep making that trade, you can have freedom from making a terrible trade in your life. And for girls, some girls, they make the mistake of trading a temporary relationship that's not of God for something so much better that God has in store for you in the future. Relationships are one thing. Girls, you can get lost in identity issues. You can make a lot of poor choices, a lot of bad trades. And specifically, I bring up relationships because it's something that's so rampant in our time right now, is that girls will make the compromise early, and they will make that trade for that cup and lose the blessing. And I'm not saying God, He can restore the blessing, but we keep walking down that same road Esau kept walking down. Let's see. I'm going to read something in closing from Hebrews 12:15. It says, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau. Who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done." And that's the note I want to leave on today, is for you guys to sit back and be real with yourself. My trade was the trade of pornography, and I had some other issues. Your trade could be very different from mine. But be real with yourself. What trade are you making today that you know is costing you your blessing, your birthright? Day after day, what is that trade? It could be something as simple as not spending time with God. You could be going one whole day, you're like, I'll spend some time with my father later today. And then we keep making that trade throughout the day, keep kind of bargaining with yourself. Next thing you know, we're spending too much time on social media. Social media can be a huge bowl of borscht that we're trading for such a unique and intimate time with our Father. And it turns from one day to one week turns into a month, and all of a sudden we become famished, just like Esau. And we keep walking famished, and we keep making the same sacrifice and the same trade day after day. That's why I ask you, what are you trading? What is your cup of borscht? So let's just stand. And I just want to pray over you and just hope this message resides with you, not only in your heart, but begins to change something in your mind, begins to renew something in your mind. If there's something that any one of you feels that you need to push away out of your life, begin to cut off this trade, never be afraid to come talk to one of your leaders here, either me, Oleg, one of the girls, and just one of the best things is confessing. It lifts such a burden off of you. And God created community so that we confess sins to one another, so that we can find healing. And that's what we're here for. Is God's going to work through each and every one of us to bring healing and to bring restoration into your life. No matter what you've been trading, God can restore the birthright in your life. You just have to want it. So let's just close in a prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for your word, God, for what you've spoken here today. And Father, I pray that you give us a renewed mind in what you're teaching us right now, God. God, let us not become like Esau and begin to trade the birthright you've given us for such a temporary pleasure, God. I pray, Father, that we are constantly filled with your Spirit so that we're not walking around famished and compromising such high standards we have over our life as the daughters and sons of your kingdom, God. I pray, Father, that you just teach us this new idea, Lord God, this new word, Father, and that it penetrates into our hearts so deep, God, that we begin to live it out. Father, and if there is anyone here, God, that feels like they've been trading too long, God, I just remind them, Father, with your grace and your love, that you still love them, Father. You're still chasing after them, God. I pray, God, that you give them enough courage to come forward, God, and just talk with someone, God, and to receive healing and to receive freedom, God. And we just thank you, Father, for your word, for this time you've given us. I pray, God, that you bless the rest of this service, our time of fellowship, and we will continue to bring praise and glory to your name, O God. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Can you announce fellowship? We have fellowship in sacred grounds following the service, and if it's your first time, free drink. All right? All right, guys, I hope you got something out of this word. God is really speaking something. He wants to bring change into your life. So if any of you, like I said, is there anything you want to talk about, feel free to come up to one of the leaders, and God is more than happy to encounter you where you are. All right?